nationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author Steve Klein sits down with the most fascinating difference makers in Dallas-Fort Worth. Hear from top CEOs, local entrepreneurs, and key playmakers in business right now with your host, Steve Klein.
An unknown author once said, "The way to build self-confidence is to start doing things you're not sure you can do." Hi, I'm Steve Klein, and welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. In the studio today are two guests who do things they're not sure they can do. Our first playmaker sells telecom equipment and never takes no for an answer, while our second playmaker is disrupting the enterprise content management market. With us today is the CEO of a telecom company with offices in Mexico, Canada, Guatemala, and Chile. Our second playmaker has helped to increase his company's revenue over 1,000% in a seven-year period. His great playmakers are Evelyn Torres. Evelyn is CEO of Solaris Technologies. And Greg Milliken, he is VP of Marketing for M-Files Corporation. And we're going to begin today's show with Greg. Greg Milliken brings 20 years of management experience in a variety of technology companies to his role as VP of Marketing at M-Files Corporation, where he oversees worldwide marketing initiatives. M-Files simplifies and improves how businesses manage, secure, and share information. M-Files is disrupting the enterprise content management ECM market by eliminating information silos and providing quick and easy access to the right content from any core business system and device. Greg, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Well, I mentioned at the very beginning, not in this part of the introduction, about your 1,000% growth over a seven-year period. How have you been able to do that?
Well, we've done that by basically delivering solutions to customers that work. And one of the, if you look at, I think I heard a recent statistic that literally in a two-week period, all of the information that's been created from the beginning of history will be doubled. So information is exploding.
That quickly.
And it's amazing. And what the driver is for businesses moving forward is how effectively they manage that information. So we're all about helping businesses organize, find, process information. And a challenge in this industry has been these tools have typically been complicated. And so the users don't adopt them. And we've really excelled by making it easy, making it accessible. And that characterizes an M-Files deployment is that users start to use it. And it creates a groundswell. So rather than a top-down initiative that's an enforcement exercise by management, if you could literally incent the users that it benefited them in their daily work and through that drove the benefits that the top-down management objectives want, that's where our success comes from.
Absolutely amazing. Now, M-Files is a Finnish company that started in 2005, so you're 9 years old. So you've been moving fast in that entire time. And you've been with the company how long?
I've been there 5 years, actually, in February, so a little over five.
And you were president of the company and just had a change in title and also responsibilities. More responsibilities than you had before?
Well, now I basically manage all of our global marketing and am on our executive management team. And we were bootstrapped as a company since our inception, so no outside funding. I mean, every penny we spent, every dollar we made was by delivering solutions. And at a certain point, once you reach a certain critical mass, the growth equity folks start to look at you and say, hey, these people have figured out how to run the business. And last year, we had raised an outside round of funding led by Draper Fisher Jurvetson, who's a really world-class VC and growth equity investor. And through there, got to bring on some really heavy hitter executive management, and the business is growing and allowed me to step out of maybe splitting my time between operations and marketing to 100% marketing.
I was reading a Dallas Business Journal article about you and M-Files, and it said that Dallas-based M-Files Corporation is a vendor of enterprise content management solutions. And then the next question was, but what does that mean? So what do you do?
That does plague our industry, the three-letter acronym, ECM, BPM, DMS. We try to avoid that, but sometimes we have to position ourselves in that space. Thinking simply, we help businesses organize, start with documents. Every business is run with documents. In fact, we believe documents are really the second most important asset of a business after people. And so if you had a business where you could literally find what you needed, the right information, instantly your business would operate better. And that's in essence what we do, organize and allow businesses to find the right information quickly. And when you start to think of hundreds or thousands of people editing documents, different versions, storing them in different places, it's a huge challenge. And what's ironic is that a lot of businesses don't really realize that because it's not apparent to them. They don't track how long it takes their employees to search for documents. But all of us know what it's like pecking through folders and searching for information. We strive to eliminate that and through that deliver, you know, business efficiency and productivity.
So part of what you do is that your time management productivity, reducing the time spent searching for documents you need.
Indeed, indeed.
I mean, by myself, my business is much smaller than large corporations, but even at that, when I develop a document, I'll put it possibly in a folder, but I should have put it in another folder, and I still have a hard time finding documents that I develop. They're nowhere near larger companies. So that's a piece of your business. But I also noticed that one of the ways you do that, you tag files. How does that work?
Yes. In fact, one of the things we try to describe is that the way things have been done in the past, the folder system started in the 80s. I mean, Apple came up with really the desktop with Lisa, if we remember that. And then the Macintosh really popularized it. So basically, we're using, in general, the equivalent of a floppy disk to run our business. That's how old that technology is. So what we do is we say we organize information by what it is versus where it's stored. So if you think about it, the intractable problem of storing something in a folder, very often, almost always, it has to be related to more than one thing. So how do you put something in more than one folder? You have to copy it. So think of the iPhone. If I put music on the iPhone, I don't put it in a folder. The device knows that it's music, and it shows up based on the need or the relevance. So I can look at it by album, I can look at it by artist, I can look at it by song, by playlist. So now generalize that to the notion of documents and information in a business. So I now say that's a proposal or this is a specification, and I tag it with that term, and I tag it maybe with the customer. So now what happens is I create relevance. So I'm interested in this proposal because it's related to this customer that I'm speaking with. And from that simple change from location to what it is by tagging it comes huge amounts of efficiency and the ability to truly interpret the information. And I would just add, you know, in 98, Peter Drucker made a quote about the information revolution. And he talked about the future, the coming information revolution. By the way, this was, you know, 10, 15 years ago. The coming information revolution will be less about managing and processing information as it will be interpreting the meaning of that information and acting on that that meaning. That's what the tagging and indeed metadata, which is a little bit of jargon, drives this meaning and relevance. So not only finding information, but finding the right information. And often that relevance comes from what it's related to, i.e. the customer or the project.
Now, does that happen automatically with your software, or do you go in and do training in the companies? Now, one of the companies I noticed you is Charles Schwab that uses your services.
Yes.
Do you go in and do training with them to help them understand how to tag those documents or those files?
In some cases, we do, but we, you know, back to that original driver, we try to make it very simple and
user-friendly, intuitive.
Yeah, so very often, no training is required, but sometimes we do. But to your question, does it happen automatically? Sometimes it's purely automatic. That literally, if I say I'm a salesperson, I'm creating a proposal, I can create that through a template. So I never really go and create that document manually. I generate it through a template. I often do that right from the CRM, another three-letter acronym, the customer relationship management system, like Salesforce.com. And so that document's automatically created. It's already tagged with the customer. It knows that it's a proposal, and it's classified. The same can happen through scanning. So I can scan a document. You can automatically determine characteristics or these tags, if you will, through the scanning process. And then there's a third element that's called text analytics, where you literally get into the document content and from interpreting that content, derive these tags automatically. And of course, there is the manual too. So it's really a mixture of all of them.
There's a scanning system advertised on TV, I believe it's called Neat. You can scan something, it automatically puts it in the right folder and knows how to find it immediately. Now, that's not exactly what you do, but it sounds like what you do thinks for you.
Yes.
And finds things very easily based on what you're doing.
Very closely related. That's a little bit more of a consumer type approach or small business, but indeed we see all of that as only good because it's popularizing the notion that businesses need to think about this. They need to organize it, and it's truly amazing. You know, you look at this market, and people say, wow, it's mature. It's been around for 20 years. There's big players. It's true, but it's very actually lightly penetrated because the industry is still in that IT-centric phase where these things are expensive and they're complicated. And so the opportunity to put this in the hands of companies to truly organize information is still a massive opportunity that ties back into the growth. I mean, it's unlimited from what we can see.
Well, from what I've read, you have over 2,000 businesses that you work with in over 100 companies, and you're VP of marketing. What are you doing to develop M-Files worldwide?
Well, we of course, we do a lot of marketing. In other words, we do advertising, typically online advertising, not so much the traditional print. We do events. In fact, I was just out at LA at a big Gartner event. Gartner is a big research firm in our industry. So we work closely with analysts such as Gartner and Forrester to help tell our story, and they help communicate that out to the market. We do the straight advertising through Google AdWords and that sort of thing. We do lots of PR. We communicate regularly about customer wins and new partners that we've signed up, case studies that we develop, all of that. And then we just really get out there and we listen to our customer. We understand what they need and we try to respond quickly and make it work. Every deal. That's our mantra. Every deal is going to work.
Well, Greg Milliken is VP of Marketing for M-Files, and you can find them at m-files.com, m-files.com. It's a interesting website to find out more about what they're doing. Greg, thank you very much for being on Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you.
Again, Greg Milliken, VP of Marketing at M-Files Corporation. Again, it's m-files.com. Don't go away. We have another guest. And she is a very interesting person. She's the CEO of Solaris Technologies, Evelyn Torres. And we're going to talk about the equipment that she works with companies on. And it's in a number of different companies. So stay with us. This is Playmakers Talk Show. Back right after this.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
Their names are Vivian, Bryce, Zoe, and Joshua, ages 5 to 12. They are part of a very exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They've all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. Each year in DFW, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer." Wipe Out Kids Cancer helps families cope and support researchers looking for a cure. Our mission is simple, to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. Learn more at wokc.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. This segment, We're going to talk a little bit more about technology, but in a little different way. We're going to have Evelyn Torres. She is a CEO of Solaris Technologies, and she founded that in 2010 with headquarters in Irving and offices in Mexico, Canada, and Guatemala. Solaris Technologies is an award-winning global telecommunication equipment company that provides innovative Tough Tower. We're going to talk about that. Tough Tower product platforms that includes Site on Wheels, quick deploy and fixed towers, also fiber optics, transceivers, multi-vendor new and refurbished equipment, and certified quality repair services to customers throughout the Americas. Solaris combines more than a century of industry knowledge with strategic partnerships to deliver fast and flexible technology solutions that support emergency preparedness, disaster recovery, special events, temporary communication needs, surveillance, and other customized solutions that enhance businesses. Evelyn, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve.
There's a lot in there that you do, but before we get into all of that, how does a former Braniff employee get into the telecom equipment business?
Well, that's a good question. As many people know, back in the 80s, Braniff Airlines was one of the premier airlines in Dallas-Fort Worth area, and I relocated here and was so excited. I worked there for about 7 years and had a great, great run, and then all of a sudden Braniff goes under, and so I decided that I needed to do something different. So I always have been fascinated in technology, and so I began studying and taking classes and got my degree, and then worked for Nokia, which gave me a head start on technology. I moved through the ranks rather quickly and became the head of Central America, the head of services on the infrastructure side. And that was the springboard to get me into technology. So I think that was my roots. I always knew I needed to be doing something that's moving. And so airline was moving and technology is moving. And so that's why I'm here today.
Well, a few things you left out that I'm going to bring up. When you applied for the job at Braniff, you were picked. You were one out of 100 people that got picked for that position. So you must have stuck out for some reason.
Yes, I have a very vivid recall of that situation. I was a girl from Oklahoma coming to Dallas with a group of people. 10 from my school had gone for interviews, and then there was hundreds of candidates, actually more than 100. And I remember telling the person that was interviewing me that I have to have the job. I'm not leaving here without the job. And she said, yeah, we'll get back with you in a couple of weeks. No, you don't understand. I need the job today. I'm moving. I need this job. I want to be in Dallas. I know that you need a person like me here. I can help you in many ways beyond my resume. And I convinced her. Basically, she hired me on the spot.
Well, a lot of it has to do with attitude. One of the things I work with my clients on, and you definitely convey that attitude. But when you jump now to Nokia, you were there next after Braniff. That was not something you want to do. And you had a friend that was doing some recruiting that actually begged you to go for an interview.
Yes, basically, I was home building a swimming pool. It's kind of a funny story. And I'm becoming an expert on pool designs and fabrication and what I want for these LED lighting systems and all this stuff. And she was a recruiter for Nokia at the time, and she says, Evelyn, I need to make my quota. Please go for an interview. At least if you go for an interview, I'm, you know, showing progress there at Nokia. And I said, oh, please, I'm in the middle, heads up with all this stuff. I don't have time. And she said, honestly, for our friendship, please do it. And so I went for the interview and actually got the job the same day. It was so amazing. I had 3 interviews that same day. It was a long, drawn-out day. And at the end of the day, I told my friend, oh, my goodness, I think I'm going to be real pickle here because I've got a job and I really don't want to work for Nokia. I didn't even know what Nokia did, and they were asking me lots of technical questions, and I was really on my heels about it. But I think they really realized that I had a lot to give. I'm very innovative, and I had a lot of the skill sets they were looking for without the technology background. So they gave me a big opportunity, and I ran with it.
Well, one of the things I read about you is that you, and I mentioned this in the at the beginning about the fact that you never take no for an answer. Well, it was quite evident when you were applying for your job at Braniff, you were not going to leave that office until you actually had your job. You then started your own business, and that started, I believe, 2010. What was the impetus? What was the spark that you decided you wanted to be in business for yourself?
Well, I was a single mom, 2 kids in college, you know, have the big life working at Nokia, making, you know, quite a lot of money and saving a lot of money. And I had an opportunity to make a shift. Basically, they wanted me to move to Guatemala, and I decided that, you know, I really wanted to be close to my family. And I thought, what am I going to do now? And so I started talking to some of my friends and my clients and said, you know, I really think that there's something else that's for me to do, and I really think I'm going to have my own technology company. And I started talking to my customers, what are you guys going to be doing in the next years, and how can I help you with that? And they told me that they were going to be doing lots of fiber optics, and I thought, wow, I don't know anything about fiber. Oh, I'm going to be doing a lot of cow implementations where we were putting out networks, and I'm like, wow, I don't know anything about that. And so all those things I didn't know anything about, I hooked myself up with people that know a lot about that. And I really became an expert in that and end up actually going into the business, putting all my fears behind me, which is, you know, being a single mom, you don't want to have no income. And just put all my heart and effort into it, started it off here in Irving, and got made calls to all my clients, and they decided that they would support me. And believe me, I had the same clients that I had previously in the Nokia realm for myself, and didn't skip a beat.
You exemplify what I talk to my clients about. You jump in with both feet, and you just do it. Now, the risk you take was qualified because you knew what you're getting into, but let's talk about that for a moment. Talk about what you do. What does Solaris Technologies do?
Basically, we're servicing the technology field. So basically, our customers are Tier 1 operators, very much like the Verizon, Sprint, T-Mobile's here in the U.S., as well as the similar size operators in Latin America. And basically, what we do is we find out what they're going to be spending their purchasing dollars are in the next 5 years. And we either try to dive into that technology, become experts at that, so that we can be there when they're ready for that, such as fiber optics. I went out and bought capacity in China for a Corning factory, 90% of their production for the next 10 years, because we knew that they were going to be buying a lot of fiber optics. So I think that's my niche in the market, is that I can understand what's required and go out getting partnerships to help service that for the next period of time. And so we become more of an advisor to our clients, and not trying just to sell them solutions. We're trying to understand what they're going to need in the next years, and become procurement officers, basically, to go out and find those things before they need them. And then also bring out the advances that are coming in the technology that they may not be aware of. So we really do become leaders in the technology.
So you're more of a consultant, though you do deal with equipment. And one of those things I mentioned during the introduction was the Tough Tower product platforms. Talk about that. What is Tough Tower?
Well, this is a kind of a unique opportunity that I had. Back in 2010, I was visiting with one of my customers, and he said, Evelyn, we have a thing called, you know, a network in Mexico City, and the Pope is going to be coming to town, and we really want to expand our networks to take advantage of that visit. And so we're going to need to expand our network and spend about $20 million in this expansion. What do you think? And I thought, well, you know, it's going to take you about 3 years to do that, and $20 million is probably not going to be enough. And so I think the goal is a lofty goal, but I don't think it's appropriate. How about if we sold you mobile towers and you could move around wherever your events are and you would spend a fraction of that?
Did that just pop in your head, or was that something you had known about?
I know the technology, but I didn't know how to get it, but I know that technology exists. And he said, Evelyn, well, okay, so how about selling me these, you know, these cows, cellular on wheels? And I said, yeah, I can do that. And so I came back to Dallas and met with my staff. We have a bunch of engineers. And I said, where will we go to acquire these things? Because now I just opened my big mouth and I need to service these things, find them somewhere. And so I bought some competition, different ones in the United States, and I realized how poorly they were manufactured. So then I decided that, wait a second, I can't offer this. I need to do something better. And so I hired a design team, and we actually started manufacturing them our own. And I have actually patents on the technology. So I think what we do is we understand what the problem is, fix it and build our own. So we don't want to just resell somebody else's equipment. I think a lot of times we try to manufacture or provide a solution that's, you know, really beyond what's needed. And in our case, a Tough Tower signifies, you know, robustness, you know, multiple carriers in implementation so they can reduce cost, and really understanding the what's needed out in the implementation world. Since I come from telecom background, I understand the problems that you have. And so we built things that are really tough, built with engineers, for engineers type of thing, not just building a solution that's out there, the one-off type of thing.
Well, you've had a tremendous amount of success in a short period of time. Your business is only 4 years old. This is Playmakers Talk Show. You're obviously a playmaker. You've made things happen. What is the secret to your success?
I think, you know, conquering your fears is a big thing because basically if I wouldn't have moved off of trying this out on my own, I would still be wondering today if I would be able to do this. So I think sometimes we just have to eat the frog, you know, like that. Just take the worst thing in the room and just swallow that and just kind of let's get with it. And when you put your whole heart into something and you know there's no alternative, there's no running back, there's no running home, there's nowhere to go but to do it, you know, I think that also gives you an incentive. And you're always looking to be more inventive. You know, you have to reinvent yourself. You have to keep pushing yourself to find out what the next big thing is and try to be on the leading edge. I think that sets you apart from the next guy. And I think I have done a lot in the last 4 years. And that's just a small portion of where I'm going in my life. I feel like I'm continuing to evolve and learning new things. And I really want to be there for my clients in the future.
A small part of where you're going. Where else are you going?
Well, I really can't tell you right now, but I know I'm going
positive. But you have lots of ideas.
I do. And I'm inventing other things, and I'm in development time. I'm talking to customers and finding out what the next thing is for the next 5 years. And trust me, I will be there.
So what advice would you give other entrepreneurs who are listening or business owners to succeed in business?
I say just do it. I love the Nike phrase, just do it. A lot of times we think about it, we overanalyze it, we're maybe a little bit more pessimistic than we should be. I think, you know, it's okay to fail. A lot of exciting people in this world have fallen. You know, you just have to keep getting up and trying it again and really believe in yourself. And I think that all things are possible. I mean, I came from a family of immigrants. I was the first one to get educated in my family. I think that as I look back about all the things that have happened to me, I think it's because of those kinds of big, huge things that we've done, you know, parents coming to the United States, getting great education, you know, and really taking full thing out of the thing called life, you know. I think that's important.
Well, Evelyn Torres sees failure as simply a setback. It's something just delaying you, and you continue doing it. Thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you very much.
Evelyn Torres, she is the founder and chief executive officer, and I didn't mention before, but you can find out more about them, including a great video that she stars in on her website. It's SolarisTechnologies.com. It's Solaris is SolarisTechnologies.com. Technologies.com. My name is Steve Klein. You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show. You can also listen to past podcasts on our website, PlaymakersTalkShow.com. You can also check out the upcoming guests and the past guests on PlaymakersTalkShow.com. And we'll be back again next week.
Who will Steve be interviewing next? Find out on Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein every Friday afternoon at 3 on 770 KAAM. Hear this interview again by going to Steve's website, PlaymakersTalkShow.com.